I know I read your first book, and I'm going to let you give the title because I know I'll butcher it, but it was what, the Civil War?
Yeah, I decided to do a play on the word Civil War. So it's Civil War, a Dad's Guide to Winning Custody.
There you go. Now, because of the fact that women are now more prominent in the workplace and the fact that they have and sometimes even a better income than the man, has that shifted some of these issues to a more level playing field? Or do you really think that people are, the judges and the system are just acknowledging that, hey, maybe the guy does have some rights?
Yeah, and again, you're right, Kevin. There has been progress, and I don't want to fail to acknowledge that. Gee, when I started doing this 20 years ago, I can tell you that it was a much harder road for guys.
Yeah, I mean, when you went to court, you just bend over.
Well, that was the perception. My position was always, even then, not to end up that way voluntarily. But the whole idea, though, is to focus on trying to get the courts to be gender blind completely. And you, for example, using your example, a woman who has a significant income. If that guy happens to be unemployed or even seriously underemployed, so that he comes into court not being very productive, spending a lot of time around the house, despite the fact they may be caring for the children, they may be doing household responsibilities, etc., he's still regarded by the court as a deadbeat. I mean, he tends to be. And again, this isn't a universal accusation. For the most part, you know, judges, opposing counsel, and others look on this situation and say, why doesn't this guy go out and get a job?
Yep.
And by contrast, if the guy comes in and he's an executive, makes a ton of money, and his wife is unemployed or underemployed, there's no presumption that she should be out working. And in matter of fact, there's the presumption that she's performing a legitimate role as a homemaker and a mother. And so it's the dad's job, if it can be proven at all, to try to establish, no, she's just unemployed and she's not being productive and she's being a deadbeat, she's going to go out and get a job. But a guy has to struggle to prove himself not guilty of that accusation if he
right.
comes in that situation.
And you're not speaking disparagingly of the role of a homemaker and mother.
Not at all.
Okay.
I think it's a wonderful role. But the point is, courts need to recognize that fathers can play that role too.
Right. Now, I know you want to sell your book, which is The 10 Stupidest Mistakes Men Make When Facing Divorce, but can we go over at least a couple of them? And the reason
sure.
I ask that is because having had the experience of walking into your office, and when a man is facing a divorce, I can't tell you how emasculated you feel. I mean, everything that you have worked for, everything that you have accomplished, everything that you've believed in and love is laying out there on the line to be taken from you. I mean, it's the most helpless feeling you could ever have. And I know that coming to you, I felt relieved in that, yeah, here's somebody that at least understands what I'm talking about. And when you're in that position, you tend to make some stupid moves, don't you?
Well, yeah, it's hard to be rational during the divorce process. I mean, it's a time when, you know, the your best friend, the person, you know, who's been kind of the center of your universe, the centerpiece of your future, is suddenly going her way and you're going yours. So there's all this emotional stuff that's going on, which in and of itself would be enough to cause a lot of stress
yep.
and apprehension. But now throw onto it all of the practical implications of that. You know, your retirement plan is, you're going to lose a substantial part of it, you presume, your house, other savings, perhaps a part of your income going into the future. So it's a very, very difficult time for guys.
Right. As well as knowing that you may not have nearly as close a relationship as you wish with your children.
Exactly. And for dads, particularly with young children, that's front and center. So
absolutely.
Now you have, in addition to that point, everything else we just mentioned. It's amazing, Kevin, that guys do as well as they do, quite frankly.
I'll vouch for that, yes. So what are some of the things that, as you approach a divorce, and let's face it, in whether you realize it or not, in retrospect, you're going to know ahead of time that it's coming. What should you and should not do?
Well, and this isn't self-serving. This, in fact, the advice that I'm about to give you, or give your listeners rather, is advice that I gave my brother in Kentucky a few years back, and I couldn't personally represent him at that time. And though we have an office now in Kentucky, we didn't then. So Sam was looking at the possibility of divorce. He wasn't sure that that's where he was going to end up. But my advice to him was, Sam, go out, get a lawyer involved immediately, and don't try to handle this yourself. Guys notoriously think that they're capable of taking care of business on their side of the table. They think they're shrewd. They think that they understand, you know, the business implications and perhaps they've made important decisions in the marriage. So guys are more prone, quite frankly, than women to go into a divorce without an attorney, believe it or not. And it happens all the time.
Really?
But I'm saying more than simply hire an attorney. In answer to your question, I'm saying that guys really need to go talk to an attorney when they simply see smoke on the distant horizon.
Yep, I agree.